Hello, friends. This is Phonograph DJ Mac bringing you Centennial Songs. Recordings by Black Americans were few and far between prior to 1919. Even when they were made, the record companies often did not reveal or hid who they were made by. A firm grip was still clenched by the big three record companies, Victor, Edison, and Columbia. Victor always wanted to be the purveyor of only the finest in musical selections, with the intent of not only supplying, but creating tastes for America by strictly limiting and vetting releases. Black artists were not part of this vision. Edison, pretty much completely deaf at this point, was still the one to approve every record release his company produced, and his racial predilections were reflected in the catalog and in his notes made internally as he auditioned each disc. Curiously, since he was mostly deaf, he would bite into the phonograph as the record played so the vibrations could be heard through his head. Columbia was the most forward-thinking at this point. They had always been number three in sales, but were taking a chance to be among the first to open their studios to black artists. They had big sellers in Burt Williams and this new jazz music by William Swetman. They were anticipating what was in the air. Loosely, race records were recordings made by and for black Americans. We may think of race records as jazz and blues, but in fact, the first black-owned record company was not that. George W. Broom, purportedly born in 1868 in Brooklyn, is first known as trying to make a mark in the New York theater industry, with very little success. Sound familiar? While mixing it up in this world, he crossed paths with Roland Hayes, a successful black tenor who was also grinding against the industry wheels. His success as a performer could not persuade a racist industry to translate his concert success to records. So in 1918, he took steps and paid personally to make what were known as vanity recordings, pressed for him and sold by him at concerts and through the mail. Broom became involved in this sales endeavor, but Hayes had no aspirations to, or perhaps no hope to, sell his records beyond a very small circle. A year later, in 1919, Broom launched Broom Special Records, which was dedicated to recording black performers. This was a first. His aspirations were to record spirituals and classical artists. Broom was a tenacious advocate and salesman for this cause. The first release was the spiritual Go Down Moses by Harry Burley. It was advertised in The Crisis in 1919, along with a few other titles, as Phonograph Records of Our Foremost Negro Artists. So, here's the first black-owned record company recording and selling black artists. Unfortunately, the label did not last long. Judging by the scarcity of the records today, sales were minuscule, and the company released less than a dozen titles, perhaps most notably, a personal recording made by Booker T. Washington in 1908 and released by this label as the only recording of the civil rights pioneer. It was a grand idea that was ahead of its time. But let's take a moment to acknowledge George W. Broom, a man who had the aspiration to give the opportunity, which did not exist, to his people to promote their own music. Small steps lead to big changes. As I said earlier, the records are exceedingly rare, and the only example I could find was given to me by a friend is really very warm. So here's their number two release, Villanelle, sung by soprano Florence Cole Talbert. This week's Centennial Song. Thank you.
Oh, my God.